Jakarta bombings target American hotels.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. A Marriott and a Ritz-Carlton were the targets of bombing in Jakarta this morning. At least 9 people died in the explosions. More than 60 were injured. The attack is a big blow to optimism that had built up in the country following the recent presidential election, which promised stability for Indonesia, the largest economy in Southeast Asia. John Aglionby is the Jakarta correspondent for the Financial Times. He says he doesn't think this incident will have a long-term effect on growth or Western investment in Indonesia.
Analysts I'm speaking to are suggesting that there'll be a short-term spike in concern, but it's unlikely to lead to long-term damage to investor confidence unless this is not an isolated event and becomes a long-term bombing campaign.
Indonesian markets have been some of the best performers in Asia this year. Today wraps up a very important week for U.S. markets. A lot of major bank earnings came out. So far, so good. J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs announced huge profits. Later today, we'll hear from Citigroup and Bank of America. There is a key difference for those banks. They haven't been able to pay back TARP money from the government bailout. So can we expect more good news from B of A and Citi? Marketplace's Amy Scott takes a look.
Banks are making money these days, in part thanks to a surge in investment banking, things like trading stock and doing bond deals. Nancy Bush is an analyst with NAB Research. She says Bank of America has benefited from its controversial buyout of Merrill Lynch.
They have this much larger investment banking platform at a time when investment banking is doing fairly well.
But can B of A earn its way out of trouble? The bank accepted $45 billion from the Treasury Department to help absorb losses on loans and credit cards. Paul Miller keeps an eye on the banks for FBR Capital Markets. He says regulators won't let Bank of America or Citigroup pay their bailout money back anytime soon.
I would think that they will not be able to pay TARP until we get through this recession or we see some stabilization in their losses on their portfolio. And that could be another year at tops.
Miller says even stronger banks like J.P. Morgan Chase will continue to lose money on bad loans until the economy recovers. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The tech sector has also made a good showing this week. IBM and Google both announced strong quarterly profits yesterday. There is some concern about Google, though. Evidently, the amount advertisers pay per click for a Google ad is down more than 10%. In spite of that, markets are clicking along this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.9%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index stepped up 0.5%. The Jakarta Composite fell 2.5% after the bombings, but recovered and closed down just 0.5%. U.S. markets had a good Thursday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained more than 1%. To commemorate the 40th anniversary of the moon landing, NASA has released an enhanced and restored version of footage from the historic event. NASA invested a couple $100,000 to clean up those images, and it said the quality would have been better if someone hadn't taped over the original broadcast. That's right, someone actually taped over the original footage of the moon landing. NASA says satellite data was recorded over them, but am I the only one thinking there's now a football game where mankind's giant leap used to be?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People are talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Harry Potter is working his usual box office magic. When it opened on Wednesday, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince grossed more than $100 million. That's more than any of the previous films. And we haven't even hit the weekend yet. Mike Spire is news editor at The Wrap. He joins us to talk box office. Hi, Mike. Thanks for coming in.
A real pleasure.
So Harry Potter opened this week. What are we seeing from Harry?
Well, what we're seeing from Harry Potter is what we see from all the Harry Potters, which is pretty much the most predictable blockbuster there is out there. In fact, Warner Brothers moved it to the slot. Usually it opens in the fall. And, of course, it was an easy decision because it was such a huge blockbuster when it opened Wednesday right away.
I mean, I guess everyone's going to be looking at the numbers today as opposed to what it opened with on Wednesday.
Well, what we're seeing exactly with Friday openings is that there's what we call a Twitter effect, which is people are texting each other a lot more on opening days of films than they used to. And what that does is you can see big drops or big rises on Saturday and Sunday. It's not really happening with Harry Potter because that's a movie that's such a huge franchise and kids are going to go no matter what, whether the reviews are good, whether the reviews are bad. But there are movies, we saw it with Bruno, for example, which had a huge Friday opening, and then the next day you saw it dropped 39%. That's unusual for a movie that has such a strong opening. And what we're attributing that to now at the box office is what we call a Twitter effect. Word of mouth is so fast, so intense because of social media that people are making decisions based on Friday. Now, after Friday, studios already can tell how a movie is going to perform.
So how can movie studios kind of capitalize on the Twitter effect? How can they take advantage of it?
I think studios, they need to embrace this. They can't run from it and they can't shun it. They need to be able to say to themselves, first of all, traditional media has not had the best of luck with new media. They
right.
haven't been able to really cross that transom, market themselves very well. If you see the Harry Potter YouTube site, it's a hit, but I don't think that other studios know how to do that. I don't think other studios will do that with every one of their movies. When it comes to the Twitter effect, since their core audience knows how to use and is familiar with social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter, either weave it into your marketing plan or hire a group of people who kind of know that realm better than traditional media executives, which are the people that usually run movie studios.
Mike Spire is the news editor at The Wrap. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
Evidently, the forces of evil are getting their Twitter on, too. There's reportedly an epidemic of Harry Potter malware going around. People are getting emails inviting them to watch the new Potter movie online for free. And a few clicks later, their computer is infested with worms and viruses. Oh, and chatting Potterists, malwareists, begonists does not work. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.